Chapter 1, our sermon this morning is in James chapter 1. It's part 2 from a couple weeks ago, Plain Talk, Thoughts About Temptation. James chapter 1, come down to verse 13. Now, I do want to bring you a sermon today and not a sermonette. There's a difference. Do you know what sermonettes do? I heard this a while back. Sermonettes only produce little Christianettes who drive their Corvettes down to the laundryettes, dress like majorettes, puffing on their cigarettes with absolutely no regrets. Amen. How do you like that one? That one's free, and if you want to hear it again, you watch today's message on rerun. James chapter 1, and come down to verse 13. Let's just read the text, and then look at some conclusions about temptation, and particularly today, how to overcome temptations. Let no man say, all inclusive, let no man, no woman, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Why? For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, as we saw a couple weeks ago. But every man, every woman, all of us, every one of us, none of us are immune from temptation. But every man is tempted, and here it is, when he is drawn away of his own lust. The word lust means desires that are out of control. And enticed. When the bait dangles in front, just like fishing, and that bait on the hook in front of that fish entices that fish to bite that hook, that bait. And then it's caught. Then when lust, and here's what we said was the LSD. Then when lust, there's the L, hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, there's the S. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death, or a death-like experience. So today we're actually beginning with verse 16. Circle verse 16. Short verse, but it says a lot. Do not err. Do not err. That little word err means do not be deceived. My beloved brethren, James writing to believers. Yes, believers, saved believers can be and will be tempted. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures or creation. Father, now add to the reading of your word, now your servants attempt to preach and teach your word with accuracy, with truthfulness, as we deal with this subject, temptation, and how to particularly overcome and be victorious and not yield to temptation that could very well lead to sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come back now to verse 16 and notice this short but significant verse. In a previous message a couple weeks ago, just kind of a real brief summary, we all face temptation. Doesn't matter who you are, even if you think you're Sam or Sally spiritual, you're going to face temptation. In fact, probably most of us in the room this week, in some way, perhaps a subtle way, but a sure way, everyone in here this week has faced temptation in some way or another. So we all face temptation. And then secondly, temptation in itself, when we're tempted, facing temptation is not sin. It's not sin to be tempted. But where sin comes into play is how we often respond to temptation. If we yield to temptation, it can lead to sin. So here in verse 16, it's where we want to kind of start today. Notice, do not err. Do not be deceived. Do not be misled. And the idea really here is, do not deceive yourself. Self-deception. Rather, we must heed the Word of God if we'll be successful. And in fact, next Sunday, in our next part here in James, we're going to see the importance of not just hearing the Word of God, but heeding the Word of God. So if we're going to be successful over temptation, we've got to understand, notice first of all in your bulletin, insert my little chicken scratch outline for you. Notice number one, facts that describe temptation. And here in verse 16, here's what James is telling us. Here's what James is warning us. Do not err. Do not be deceived. Do not be self-deceived. Temptation flourishes. Listen carefully. Here's where we make ourselves susceptible, open to temptation. Temptation flourishes on inconsistent or careless thinking. This idea of deceived speaks of being drawn or led down the wrong path. And it begins with our thinking, how we're thinking. Many times believing a lie, listen now carefully, believing a lie is often much easier than believing the truth. And that's not a play on words. Those who believe lies, who get caught up in believing lies, and why would anybody, particularly a believer, believe something that wasn't truth? Because their thinking is inconsistent. They're in the process of self-deception. Those who believe lies soon begin living them. Let me repeat that. Those who believe lies can soon begin living them. When we deceive ourselves, when our thinking becomes twisted or inconsistent, when we slip away from the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God, when we get away from that and our thoughts, our thinking becomes inconsistent, and we start to even deceive ourselves, that's when we play into the hands of temptation. Play right into the hands of it. So be careful. James is saying in verse 16, circle that verse, do not err. And look who he's addressing, my beloved brethren, believers. So what is he saying? What's he implying? Even if we're saved, we can be deceived. Do not err. Do not become self-deceived. So, number two, notice there on your sheet, how do we overcome? How do we avoid yielding to temptation. Notice here a couple things I want to show you. Focus that determines victory. Victory over temptation. What do we need to focus on? Number one, notice victory comes through dwelling on the good. Put our thoughts on the good, not anything that resembles bad, so we can avoid self-deception. So that brings us to verse 17. Look at verse 17. Every good gift, not some, not most, but every good gift and every perfect or complete gift is from above. Higher than this roof, from heaven, and cometh down from the Father of lights. That's our Heavenly Father, with whom is no variableness. You know what that means? God bears witness to Himself. God does not change. He casts no shadows, neither shadow of turning. Every beneficial, useful, good gift, every complete gift, every perfect gift comes from heaven where God is. Are you aware of that today? And our God never changes. Anything that is good in us and for us comes from God, comes from above. God gives only good gifts. Because what? He's a good God. There's a verse in Philippians that I'm going to show you this morning. I think it's worth writing down. I can't remember if I put that in your little insert notes or not. But Philippians chapter 4, if you'd flip back to that. Philippians chapter 4, and I go back to the left in your Bible from James. Philippians chapter 4, and find verse number 8. What do we do maybe when we sense we're not quite thinking right? That might just open us up for self-deception. That might just make us susceptible to be tempted and yield to temptation. When you're having a bad day, when you feel like maybe you're discouraged, when your thinking is not clear, look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. And circle this verse. In context to this verse, look at verse 7, or verse 6 rather. Drop back to verse 6 for us to see the context of verse 8, verses 6 and 7. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious. Don't be overrun with anxiety. Don't worry about anything. Notice, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. We've all heard that verse. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Shall guard your hearts and your minds. That's where our thinking comes from. That's where our thinking can be either consistent or inconsistent. Now look at verse 8. Having seen that little context in verses 6 and 7. Now look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, All of these whatsoevers, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Grab hold of these things. Think about these. Dwell on these. Fill your minds with these things. Those things that are good. And where do those good and perfect gifts come from? From above, from God. So first of all, if you're going to win over temptation, if you're going to have victory over temptation, victory comes through dwelling on the good. But he adds one more. Verse 18. Not only does victory comes through dwelling on the good, but victory comes through living the truth. And what truth does James want us to remind ourselves of? Look at verse 18. Of his own will. And that's referring to the Father of lights. That's referring to God. Of his own will begat he us. Begat. The idea is what? Being born again. Being saved. The day you got saved, you were begotten. Beget. God, notice here verse 18, for of his own will, the God made reference to in verse 17, the Father of lights, begat he us with what? Underline that in your Bible, with the word of truth. With the word of truth. We have been brought to salvation by means of the word of truth. And what is the word of truth? I'm holding it right here in my hand. If you got your Bible, you got it in your hands. The truth of the word of God. The truth of the gospel. The truth of the good news. And notice, he willed it. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. With the word, with the message of truth. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? By the word, not of the preacher, but by the word of God. God has brought us to salvation by the will of God, by the word of God, by the wisdom of God. If you're sitting here today saved, it was God's will that you experience that salvation. And how did you get saved? By hearing the word of truth. At some point in time in your life, some place, whether it was in church, outside of church, on a pew or under the pew, you had a collision with the high sheriff of heaven, and he arrested you because you heard the word of truth. Look how that verse ends. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures or his creation. As a saved believer, we are in a unique place, the first fruits in the annals of eternity. You overcome temptation by these two things: dwelling on the truth and living the truth. Dwelling on the truth, thinking about the truth, acknowledging that every good and perfect gift comes from above, and then living the truth that God has saved you for a purpose. How important is the truth? There's a verse in Proverbs that I want to leave with you and show you. And we've already talked about wisdom. Remember here in chapter 1, if you lack wisdom, ask God and He'll give it to you liberally. In Proverbs chapter 23, let me show you a nugget kind of verse in Scripture. I mean a real jewel, a real nugget. How valuable is truth? How should we regard truth? How should we cherish truth? By the wisest man who ever lived. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23. Easy to remember. Michael Jordan's number, 2323. Look what he says. Oh, by the way, never take for granted the truth. Never neglect the truth. Never lay aside the truth. Never try to substitute the truth for anything else. Proverbs 23:23. Solomon says with his wisdom, buy the truth. Obtain the truth, buy the truth, and sell it not. When you obtain it, do not give it up. Buy the truth and sell it not. Notice, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth. Do not sell it. Also, obtain wisdom and instruction and understanding. If you're going to keep from deceiving yourself and having inconsistent thinking, and laying yourself open to temptation, then grab hold and hold on to the truth. Don't let it go. And where do you find truth? All throughout this blessed book. Facing temptation? Have you yielded lately? How's your thinking? Are you dwelling on the good things that come from above? And realize God has saved you that we might be His first fruits. Different from all His other creation. Jesus died for humanity. For people like you and I. We're saved by His will, by His word, by His wisdom. Keep the truth right here between your ears. Dwell on it and live by it. Buy the truth and do not sell it. I want to kind of wrap up the message and then kind of lay the groundwork, pave the groundwork for what you're about to do in a few minutes after the service, namely, have another little town meeting. Remember last Sunday, Brother Steve Sales was here. He brought us a boatload of information. He gave you that little diagnostic tool. You turned it in. I believe you turned it in honestly. And he comprised the information and has provided you the results of that diagnostic test, from which today you're going to share some thoughts. I believe I shared with you the other Sunday something from David Jeremiah. I get his newsletter, and then just about every week I get the sermon notes from Dr. Charles Stanley. And these sermon notes were from his mailing I got this past week. And he's dealing with Moses and his call out of the burning bush to go back to Egypt and lead them out of bondage. Remember that story? Moses in that little basket on the Nile was found by Pharaoh's daughter and was allowed to be brought up by his own mother. God, was that not a God thing? Spent his first 40 years in Egypt, but he got ahead of God. People can get ahead of God today. Churches can get ahead of God. And he committed murder and out of fear fled Egypt. And for the next 40 years of his life, you know what he was? A shepherd on the backside. All the while, God, for those 40 years, those second 40 years, preparing Moses to eventually go back and bring his people out of Egypt. Which brings to his last 40 years, where he did bring them out of Egypt, but because of their disobedience, all Moses did his last 40 years was just lead them in circles until he died at the age of 120. But here's what Dr. Stanley says, and this sermon is called God's Way is the Best Way. How many heard that? How many know today God's way is even better than our way? Here this morning, when you think about things and share things and discuss things and pray about things, get your way out of the way and say, God, what's your way? Because God's way is always the best way. So listen to this. Here's what happened from that burning bush experience and Moses finally yielding and going back to Egypt to lead him out. Moses acted on divine command. Are we going to act on God's divine command? He proceeded on God's timing, not his own. He got in trouble with his own timing. 40 years later, he responded on God's timing. God provided everything Moses needed. How many know today God will provide everything we need? The Lord banished his fears. I think we may, as a church, Park Place, be living in some fears, wondering what in the world are we going to do? The Lord banished Moses' fears. God gave Moses specific directions. He'll do the same for us. Moses experienced God's power in his life. Do you want to experience God's power in your life? Moses saw God's power working in unusual ways. Do we need to see God's power working in some unusual ways? The Hebrews, as a result, experienced great blessing. They got led out of bondage. Moses learned God's ways. He learned God could use him in his weaknesses. How many of you know today in our weaknesses, God can use us and strengthen us? God accomplished, listen to this one, I like this one. God accomplished in a short time what Moses couldn't do in a lifetime in his way. Why? Because he yielded to God's direction. Park Place, God's way is always the best way. Amen? I'll take a holy grunt if you can't do anything else. So, I'm going to have a word of prayer with you. And Joyce and I, we're not immediate members. And you may not feel as free to say things in front of us as if you would if we weren't. But in closing, before you leave today, we have two cases. What, 24 in a case? 48 bottles of brand new right here in two cases. So Don or Jerry or Bill, somebody, make sure everybody, I think there's one each individual. Because when you discuss today and make some decisions, make sure you have a clean head, clean heart, and clean hands. You don't want to make any decisions dirty. You want to be a clean vessel. We have 48 bottles. That'll even leave some left over that we can stick around here. For you to have clean head, clean heart, clean hands.